After the Storm by Gold-Hearted Sky, read by CookieMom6067. It takes them 2 months to find another therapist for Theo, but when they finally do, everything changes. Well, almost everything. The outbursts at school disappear after just 2 sessions with Dr. Berger, and Theo seems less and less prone to flashbacks and fits of anger with his brothers. He's even begun talking to Booker more about everything that happened before their world blew up. It was hard to find out that Theo had heard a lot more than Booker had ever meant him to, had noticed all the bruises and bandages he tried to hide, and Andy can't count the number of times she sat and listened to the quiet apologies from the other side of the door. But in all the progress he's made, Theo has slowly been building a wall between himself and Andy. She's not sure when it started, but Andy's never felt more shut out than she has in the past week. He barely speaks to her, unless he has to, and she can see the way his brow furrows whenever Emile and Jean-Pierre come running for her. Andy is so desperate to fix it, to get back to the way things used to be, but she knows if she pushes too hard, she'll end up ruining their relationship forever. And it's that wall that's on the forefront of her mind when she kisses the boys goodnight before Booker comes in. Emile and Jean-Pierre graciously accept the hugs and kisses, both boys babbling, "Night-night, Mama!" While Theo just buries his face in his pillow and turns his back to her when Andy starts to lean in. Her heart plummets into her stomach, and it's all she can do to keep her voice from shaking as she smooths her hand over his blonde curls and murmurs, "Good night, Bug. Love you." She manages to keep it together as she slips past Booker, but the moment Andy's alone in their bedroom, the facade begins to crack. Her head drops into her hands, and a shuddering exhale catches in her chest as she thinks about what she possibly could have done to make Theo push her away like this. "You okay, Andy?" Booker murmurs, his soft footsteps approaching the bed. The mattress sinks as he sits beside her, but Andy can't bring herself to look at her husband when he kisses the crown of her head. "I don't know what I'm doing wrong," she mumbles, her throat so tight that Andy's not sure how the words even come out. "Theo and I used to be so close, and now he won't even let me kiss him goodnight." Booker's quiet for a moment, hand gently stroking over her back before he lets out a soft sigh. I think we need to talk about what Dr. Berger told me at this week's debrief." Andy raises her head, heart sinking. "What are you talking about?" she asks. "You said everything was fine when you came home." He curls the finger of his free hand around her knee and murmurs, "I was going to wait until tomorrow when Joe and Nikki took the boys to the zoo, so we could talk about it when you hadn't been working all day, but I think we need to do this now." Booker runs his thumb along the vertebrae in her spine and sighs. "Dr. Berger said Theo's been talking a lot about how much it bothers him that Emile and JP call you Mama." Tears well up in her eyes, and Andy feels her entire world start to fall apart. She had never intended it to happen, not in the way it did. Jean-Pierre hadn't even called Leia Mama before she died. But 2 months after the boys had moved home, he had crawled up into Andy's lap and said it to her. She had never encouraged or asked him to say it, but it just stuck. And barely a month and a half later, Emile had started calling her Mama instead of Tati, but not Theo. Once Emile made the switch, Theo had stopped calling her Tati, had stopped calling her anything at all, pointedly doing everything not to even say her name. "He's mad that they don't call me Tati?" Andy asks, her shoulders curling in on herself. "But he knows I'm not trying to replace Leia. Not to them. He doesn't have to..." Booker shakes his head and says, "He's not mad that they call you that. Dr. Berger said he's frustrated that the other boys get to call you Mama, and he feels like he can't." Andy goes quiet, trying to piece this all together. "Wait, he wants to call me Mama?" "Dr. Berger said Theo told her he's scared that if he calls you Mama, Leia's going to come back and take him and the boys again," he mumbles, pulling one hand away to scrub over his beard. She said she's going to work with him on getting through this, but she made sure I knew that. Even though it seems like Theo's pushing you away, he's really just punishing himself. Booker offers her a gentle, reassuring smile. He really does love you, Andy. She nods, the words sinking in. In his mind, Theo was doing the same thing he had always done, protecting his brothers at all costs, even if it meant denying himself the relationship with Andy that he really wanted. "Is it okay if I talk to him about it in the morning?" Andy asked quietly, meeting Booker's gaze heavily. "I just want to let him know that I still love him, no matter what he calls me." He leans in to kiss her gently, pulling Andy close and wrapping his arms around her protectively. "I think that's a great idea." Andy doesn't sleep much that night. She's too busy thinking about everything that had led her here. Sometimes she still can't believe she ended up with three stepsons, and she hears Mama more than she hears her own name some days. But she loves Jean-Pierre and Emile and Theo so much that it hurts, and she can't imagine her life with Booker without the boys. So even though Emile and JP have embraced the change in their family quickly and easily, she just has to be patient with Theo. And Andy needs him to know that she's okay with taking this at his pace. So when Booker, Joe, and Nikki work on wrangling the two younger boys together for the zoo outing, she slips into the second bedroom while Theo's tying his shoes. "Hey, Bug," she murmurs, sitting on the edge of the double bed. "Can we talk for a second?" Theo keeps his head down as he finishes putting on his shoe, but finally mumbles, "Yeah, I guess." Andy scoots over and says, "Come on, T. You can sit. I don't bite. At least, not any more than JP does." She smiles when a secret grin twitches on Theo's mouth, and the weight of this conversation feels a lot lighter when he finally sits beside her. Annie knocks her knee against Theo's as she says, "Your papa talked to Dr. Janine yesterday, and she told him about why you've kind of been avoiding me." Theo stares down at his feet and doesn't say anything, but he doesn't pull away either. "And I know you're scared," she continues, "but I hope you know that your papa and I love you very much, and we will always keep you and your brother safe no matter what." Andy carefully combs her fingers through Theo's curls, pushing his hair out of his face. "And I also want you to know that it's okay if you don't call me Mama, like Emile and JP do. You're still my boy." Theo's cheeks flush red, and he sniffles quietly before rubbing in his eyes. He looks up at Andy, amber eyes rimmed in red, and doesn't say anything for almost a minute before he mumbles, "Can I have a hug?" The simple request catches her wholly off guard, but how the hell can Andy say no? She wraps her arms tight around the five-year-old, pulling Theo close and tucking his head under her chin. Andy wants to keep going, wants to promise that she loves him, and then everything's going to be okay. But she can't bring herself to do it. A moment like this doesn't need to be spoiled by more words. This is enough for now. The wall slowly begins to come down, brick by brick, until Andy can see the sun shining through. For almost a month, Theo slowly inches closer and closer to her emotionally, until it all comes to a head one night in August, when all of the boys start to come down with the summer cold. Jean-Pierre is already in their bed, fast asleep between her and Booker when Andy hears Theo's faint whining from the other side of the wall. She clinks awake and rolls over as her husband lets out a low groan. "Is that Theo?" Booker mumbles, JB tucked in close against his chest. "Yeah." Andy yawns, rubbing her eyes as she crawls out of bed. "I'll go take care of him and you can stay with JP. I'll bring Emile in here if I have to." Booker makes some tired sound of affirmation and closes his eyes again, falling asleep so quickly that Andy can hear him start to snore before she's even through the door. Theo's at the foot of his and Emile's bed, blonde curls plastered to his head with sweat, and is barely able to keep his eyes open as he looks up at Andy. "Where's Papa?" he whines, swaying tiredly as he looks for his father. "He's with Jean-Pierre," Andy murmurs. kneeling in front of the 5-year-old. She frowns, her heart sinking when she puts her palm against Theo's forehead. "Aw, Bug, you're burning up." "I don't feel good," he cries quietly, pushing her hand away. "I want Papa." "He's got to stay with JP right now. But I can come and stay with you," Andy promises gently, pushing Theo's damp hair out of his face. "Is that okay?" He sags, still whining quietly in the back of his throat for a minute before he finally nods. "Okay, good. Do you want Emil to stay in here, or should I take him to Papa?"
"To Papa."
It takes a little bit of maneuvering to get Emil into her arms, the 3-year-old limp and so, so heavy, as Andy carries him into the other bedroom. Neither Booker nor JP stirs as she carefully tucks Emil into her side of the bed and kisses all 3 of them on the tops of their heads. But when Andy heads back over, Theo's still sitting on the edge of the bed, head lolled to the side like he's barely even awake. "Come here, Bug," Andy whispers, scooping him up and easing Theo into bed. He clings to her, whimpering as he buries his flushed face in her shoulder. "Do you want some water, tea?" she asks, stroking his sweaty hair gently. "Or some crackers?"
"I want some juice,"
Theo mumbles, his voice hoarse and so quiet that Andy barely hears him. And even when she does, she swears she's dreaming. Even though it's been almost a year since the kidnapping, Theo has refused to drink any kind of juice, no matter who it's offered by. Andy knows it's a trigger for him, an understandable one at that. And the fact that Theo's asking for this from her, of all people, feels less like a step forward and more like a leap of faith. She presses her lips against Theo's forehead and murmurs, "Yeah, I can get you some juice." He downs the entire cup of apple juice when Andy brings it back, and even drinks the paracetamol when she hesitantly offers it to him. Theo wraps himself around her arm as Andy hums a soft lullaby to get him back to sleep. His eyes sag shut, and the faint whining softens as the medicine starts to kick in. "I'm going to go sleep on the couch," Andy whispers, slowly easing her arm out of his grasp. "Just so you can get some sleep, okay, Bug? If you need me, just..." Theo's amber eyes crack open and he looks up at Andy drowsily.
"Can you stay with me, Mama?"
Andy's vision blurs with tears, and her heart swells so much that it feels like it's going to break through her chest. She slips down into the bed, pillowing her head on the pillow across from Theo's, and kisses his forehead gently. "Yeah, Theo, I can stay with you tonight." The last thing Andy remembers before sleep overtakes her is Theo shuffling closer into her arms and the content sigh he lets out. When Andy wakes again, Theo is still curled up against her, but his fever seems to have broken. The flush in his cheeks is gone, and he doesn't feel like a space heater on the fritz when she runs her palm over his head. But he stays fast asleep even when Andy manages to detangle herself from his arms and legs. She can hear the faint sounds of the morning in the kitchen through the door, and a grin tugs on Andy's lips when she hears Jean-Pierre's loud giggle. Booker's at the stove, poking at some scrambled eggs, while the 2 boys devour bananas and toast at the table. Andy rubs the last bit of sleep from her eyes as she shuffles over and kisses his cheek. "Morning," she mumbles, stealing a half-eaten piece of toast from Booker's plate on the counter. "How long have you guys been up?" "Not long," Booker says, turning the burner off and dividing the eggs between 2 plates. "Thought I'd let you 2 sleep while you could." A smirk tugs on his lips, and there's so much love in his eyes that it makes Andy stop for a second as Booker adds, "Plus, there was no way I could bring myself to disturb you when you were curled up with Theo like that. Everything go okay last night?" The rushing flood of memories comes back. The juice and the quiet, innocent request of, "Can you stay with me, Mama?" And all Andy can do is nod, a soft smile washing across her face. "Yeah," she murmurs. "It was fine." The bedroom door creaks open, and Theo plods out, eyes still half closed, and his curls sticking out in every direction.
"Sit, morning,"
he slurs, still half asleep as he rubs his eyes. "Yeah, It's morning, Bug, Andy says with a soft laugh. Do you want to come have breakfast with us or go back to sleep? He sways for a second and lets out a wide yawn before he mumbles,
I want to go to sleep. Can I have a waffle later, though?
Booker chuckles behind her as she nods and says, Sure, Theo. I can make you a waffle when you get up again. Theo yawns again and gives them both a half-hearted wave before turning back towards his room.
Night, Papa. Good night, Mama.
The door shuts, and Andy's heart swells again, and she looks over at Booker, just in time to see the words sink in, a dumbstruck look of disbelief crossing his face. He looks at her in stunned silence, and Andy can't stop the bittersweet tears from prickling in her eyes as she nods, confirming that this wasn't just a mistake. This was real.
Called me that last night, too, she whispers. He even asked me to get him some juice.
A quiet, rushing breath of relief catches in Booker's chest, and he quickly leans in, one hand curling around the back of Andy's neck as he pulls her into a kiss.
I love you so fucking much, he whispers, more than anything else.
It's taken almost a full year to get here, but Andy can see the light flooding in. Soon they'll be able to have a real wedding and wear rings, and mornings like this will be a regular everyday occurrence. No more walls, no more nightmares, only love. Because Andy knows one absolute truth. As long as they all have each other, they're going to be okay. The end.